Well, I wanted to be a college teacher, I thought. And I knew that you had to get a PhD and develop some ability to contribute to knowledge and so forth. And I went there having an interest in the general areas of circuits and signals, communication, but I didn't have any concept of what I wanted to do because, for one thing, digital signal processing really didn't exist as a field. If you heard Ben Gold's talk, he really, I think, taught the first course in digital signal processing. And that occurred it may have occurred while I was there. I don't remember what year he did that course, but I didn't take it. He said that Larry was his star student, but I didn't take that course. The courses that were still prominent but sort of dying were courses that had been started by Gilliman in circuits, network synthesis and linear systems. And I started out as a TA for Amar Bose in a course on circuits. It was a wonderful course. Bose was an amazing lecturer, and they had money from the Ford Foundation to create this amazing course that every sophomore, I guess, student took at MIT, which was Amar Bose giving lectures and Ken Stevens writing notes and a staff of literally dozens of people, junior faculty, assistant professors, and running recitation sections, and then a cadre of grad students, each of whom had about 30 students that they were responsible for grading their homeworks and giving tutorial sessions. I mean, it was a huge thing. Only MIT and the Ford Foundation could afford such an experiment. But MIT continues to use that model, I think, in many cases for their undergraduate courses. But I learned a tremendous amount from just, you know, being a teacher in that. And then I got associated with a course that Sam Mason taught, who was an amazing character. And I was a TA in his course for a couple of times. And then got connected with Bill Siebert's course on signals and systems. And by that time, I had done well enough as a TA, I guess, that they promoted me to instructor, which meant that, in some sense, I had was qualified to teach a recitation section or something of that sort. So I began to do that. And I got really too much into teaching and not enough into research, because that's what you're supposed to be doing as a PhD student. And,
sounds like you were very much interested in the teaching.
Oh, I was. I mean, I loved it, and probably put too much effort into it. MIT had a qualifying exam that they required of every doctoral student, and I had difficulty passing that exam because the courses that I had had in Nebraska were totally orthogonal, I think, to what MIT's undergraduate curriculum was. They had 9 core courses that spanned the whole gamut of things from circuits to electromagnetics and transmission lines and machines and so forth. Just was totally mismatched to what I knew. So I had to take a lot of courses, never heard of quantum mechanics, really, and so I'd take the undergraduate course there. And I failed the exam the first time and kind of barely squeaked through, I think, the second time. And By that time, I had made contact, I believe, with Tom Stockham. I had taken his course, the first, I think the first semester I was in MIT, I took Tom Stockham's course, which was an old Gilliman course. It was EE 655, and it was linear systems from the Gilliman point of view. And Tom was an amazing teacher, very lively and energetic, and very knowledgeable. And, so he influenced me a lot. And somehow I got to know him well enough that he was about to go to Lincoln Labs to become a staff member there instead of a professor. And he tapped me to teach this graduate course that he had been teaching. And I taught it a couple of times.